I wanted to continue from last week's topic about opening packages, cans, containers of food on Shabbos. I wanted to do just a quick review. I discussed with the Rebbe last week about the halachas, and one should keep in mind that among the Chassidisha poskim and the Svarisha poskim, many are very, very makel in terms of opening things up. The Ashkenazi poskim are more machmir. We saw Moshe last week, Shmir Shabbos Kachas, was very machmir as to one should only open up things beforehand. Only the Tzarech Gadol should one open up on Shabbos itself. So that's the range of basic poskim. We're going to go through now all the different, or many of the applications of opening up packages and the different melachas that we have to weigh in to know whether or not it's mutter or not. So just to review some of the issues at hand, the various melachas we have to address is kareya and soser, ripping open a bag or opening up a kli. We had makla patish, making a new opening. We had binyan, making a new container that wasn't there beforehand. And we didn't address this last week, we made mention of a machatech. Machatech is when you cut something to an exact midah, to an exact measure, something also to take into account. For example, a soda can, you have a nice little line where it's dotted in and you open it up, that might be machatech. And the final thing we didn't mention was mochek, was to erase letters, which of course is another consideration with opening packages. Most posts can point out one should avoid them. I just mentioned one story someone told me recently, that they were in Rav Neventhal's house after Vasik and davening by the kosel, so that many people go back to have kiddush in Rav Neventhal's house. So I'm not sure this is kiddush or lunchtime, so I guess they gave out some ices of some sort, and they were having a hard time opening up between the letters. They were so nervous for Rav Neventhal, so Rav Neventhal just took the ices and just tore it open. And they're like, their jaw dropped. So they didn't want to ask, you know, or tell me, no, it's us or to be mochek on Shabbos. So after to ask some other Rav what shot was, so apparently it's based on, there's a postman who permitted, but since it's karov lipsik resha, it's not vada that you're going to necessarily tear the letters, it's a karov lipsik resha, and since it's only isser midrabanan of mochek, shalom nas lichto, with those reasons he permitted to tear it without paying attention to the letters. Now, I didn't ask him personally, I heard this story, so I'm not poskening, but there are poskim who permit it. But to my understanding, most poskim say one should really avoid ripping the letters, of course. What they do talk about is, are you allowed to rip between the letters? Not on the letters, but between the letters, separating a word into two parts or single letters. So some say one's not allowed to, because just like erasing Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, if you cut down the middle in the space between the Hey and the Vav, for example, there is a problem of Mechik Hashem, so to maybe it would be Mochek on Hilchas Shabbos by cutting down the middle. Not cutting letters, but separating two parts, making the word into nothing. Now, two letters here, two letters there. So they point out it's very different. Mechik Hashem is different. It's about the word. Mechika and Shabbos is about ripping the letters. They therefore say it's okay to rip between the letters, but not on the letters. But that's the final mlach we have to take into consideration. Again, there's Karea, there's Soser, there's Mochek, there's Makav Patish, and there's Binyan. A lot going on here. We're going to go through the different applications of what you have to address for each case. One other thing I should mention also, someone asked me before, we're at opening games, opening magazines. So they do point out, the poskim based on Kaf HaChaim, that it's not only Tzarech Achila, we mentioned this last week, the heter of ripping is not only Tzarech Achila, but whenever there's a Tzarech Gadol, or a Tzarech Shabbos, which may include games for kids or magazines for parents, there are also heterim, the same heterim would apply. Now, what exactly is considered Tzarech Gadol? You have to ask a posek whether this, you know, big enough need. If the kid wants to play Life or Monopoly or Risk, and the kids having a hard time, that might be Tzarech Gadol. If a person wants to read a magazine, so you have to figure out whether or not it's really Onik Shabbos, how much Onik Shabbos this is. So one has to ask a Shaila, what's considered Tzarech Gadol, I think. Okay, let's go through the different applications now. So I printed out this from the Sefer Orech HaShabbos. Orech HaShabbos is one of the newest. It's been out for a few years now, from Rav Rubin. Rav Rubin is a big posek, a big Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He was known more recently, unfortunately. It was his shul that the Har Nof attacks took place in. This is Rav Rubin. This is wonderful Sefer. He does a great job in the beginning. I did not print this part. He organizes the whole sugya, and then goes through all the different applications with the tremendous aros. So I was going to use Shmir Shabbos to go through all the different applications, but he's a little bit later, more contemporary. The thing about Shmir Shabbos is a tremendous sefer, because the one who wrote it, Rav Neuwirth, a tremendous story about him, why he wrote Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He was nifter only a few years ago, and I heard the story when he was nifter, that he, I don't know the exact details, the years, but he was in Europe. It must have been before or during the Holocaust. I don't know exactly when this happened, but he had an opportunity to go in a boat to Eretz Yisrael, but it was on Shabbos. And he was debating, but of course, Pikuach Nefesh, he had to leave, so he went on the boat. But he took upon himself, since he violated Shabbos, he went on the boat on Shabbos, he took upon himself to dedicate his life and write a sefer on Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So it's a tremendous sefer. And much of what Orech HaShabbos writes on this topic and many other topics, and you'll see in the footnotes, is pretty much based on Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So let's go through the different applications now. So the first discussion he mentions here is about opening up boxes of containers, which is something of material that's very durable. He talked about aser me'atorah liftach. This is os aleph kofeses shimurim. It's aser to open up a very durable type of container. Im miskabnan l'shtamish bashimish chozer. If you plan on reusing it, So it's hard. He didn't give real examples, but someone has suggested maybe it's referring to a coffee tin. So coffee tin, I've seen people reuse coffee tins to hold change or something else afterwards. It's something that is objectively durable. And if a person opens up the coffee tin, for example, and wants to reuse it, there's a problem of opening up because of soser, or perhaps even bona, you're creating a new container. But if the das is not to reuse it, then there's a machlokas. Now, even though it's objectively a real tin can, if your intention is to open it, empty the contents, and then throw it out, it becomes disposable for you personally. This is a question someone asked last week about objective versus subjective. Let's say you personally don't plan on using it. So he says that's subject to a machlokas about that example of a tin can that a person personally plans on not reusing it once again. So then he talks about the famous hatter. We mentioned this last week. What about puncturing a hole in the bottom of this container? Because the problem of opening the tin can is, so right now it's sealed. You rip off the top of it, you now have a new container that's usable. You can put things in, put things out, take things out. It's a new container that wasn't usable beforehand. So now, can you puncture a hole on the bottom? So in Os Beis, he says, someone who forgot to open such a tin beforehand, and one's concerned about those poskim who say you cannot open such cans on Shabbos, there are those who permit you to puncture a hole on the bottom in order to avoid it from being a kli. So when you rip off the top, it's not a usable container because there's a hole in the bottom of it. So by you preempting that, by puncturing a hole in the bottom, you have in essence, when you open the tin on the top, it's not a container and there's no violation of binyan. Again, by opening the top, it's now a new container, it's binyan. You made a new container that didn't exist before and this function was not there before and because it was covered. It's now open. So now it's a container. But if you punctured a hole in the beginning beforehand, when you then open it up afterwards, it's no longer a usable container. And there are those poskim who permit that. So if you look at Os Ches in the bottom of the footnote, he explains the reason behind this. He quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Now, people think that Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote Shmir Shabbos because he's always quoted. It's not true, as I just said before. Shmir Shabbos, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman all the time in the footnotes. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying, "V'tamam." The reason for this is because after you've made the hole on the bottom, as I said before, when you open the top, it's no longer a container that's usable. And that's the heter Rav Shlomo Zalman says. There are those posts when we got cut off from the bottom, Rav Chaim Kanievsky doesn't like this approach, because he says, when you have the sealed tin, and you make a hole in the bottom of it, now you've created a Pesach, which is a different problem. You made an opening now. A CS Pesach is an issue of Makabe Patish. So when you make that hole in the bottom, the coffee starts coming out, you've created a Pesach now. It's a different issue, so you're right, you prevented the Mlach of Binyan, when you opened it, it's no longer a container, but by doing that, you've created a Pesach. So Shlomo Zalman's response to that is that it's not considered a Pesach because it's temporary. Since it's disposable, you plan on throwing it out afterwards. A Pesach is only when you make something in a type of durable container that's meant to be reused. Since you do not plan on reusing this, making a hole is not considered a Pesach. A binyan has to be binyan kavua, and it's not considered binyan kavua since it's a temporary type of tin. So that's
then,
the heter.
Then it wouldn't be... So why didn't you use that for the binyan part? It's not kavua then.
Right. So, and remember, Yumi was asking the question back last week also. I'm not sure myself. It's confused. It's a good question. I don't know. If you say making the Pesach, it's reusable. It's not reusable. It's disposable, therefore not Pesach. So, a very good question. So, in the first place, so when you open the container, it shouldn't be, you should have the same heter of being disposable. I'm not sure. It's very confusing.
It looks, you've made a hole in the bottom. It looks like you really don't want to keep it. You just put it out. It looks like it's tamakeli.
You're saying in terms of appearance.
It appears, right.
You're making it more temporary by making that hole and destroying it.
Maybe. I'm not sure. There's no like clear-cut answer. Each case, each detail, there are different things to consider. So let's go on now to Os Gimel. Os Gimel, he talks about the situation which oftentimes, but you have a tuna fish can where there's a little ring and you just rip off the top of the, or anything like that, maybe cans of fruit have that type of ring. He says the same halacha applies. However you assume by Os Aleph would be the same by Os Gimel, which means if it's a type of tin that is not durable, which everybody throws out, let's say a tuna fish can, nobody keeps tuna fish cans, so then everyone agree you're allowed to you open such a can. If it's a coffee can, it's a tin where it's a little bit more durable, and some people do actually use it, if you plan on reusing it, it would be a problem. If you do not plan on reusing it, then that's a machlokas whether or not you could open such a tin. But I think most ring pull, I don't know, it could be a different case, but I think most of the rings are cases of disposable types of cans. So tuna fish cans and fruit cans are types of materials that people do not reuse and therefore is permitted to open up. Again, we're all talking about those who are machmir on not opening things up on Shabbos. There are those who are, again, the Chashish Poskim and the Svardim are machmikil to open these things up on Shabbos for the most part. Now, in Oz Dal, he talks about what about opening, making a hole in such a tin. You have a big tin of coffee. So he said it might be a problem of ripping off the top. Could you make a hole in it and use that as a Pesach? So he writes in Oz Dalet here that this is a problem, as we said before, of making a Pesach. So if you rip off the top, that's not considered Pesach. You just destroyed the top, but the problem is you create a container that's reusable now. So now I'm going to avoid that problem and you make a hole in it. So I didn't create a container, but now I create a Pesach. So that's going to be a problem of creating a Pesach. So if it's a durable type of tin, which gets reused, there would be a problem of jamming a hole in the top of it to make a Pesach. Now let's talk about what we addressed last week, Oshei, opening up soda cans. Soda can presents a number of issues. So an Oshei describes, ranging how they describe this in Hebrew, Pachayos Shesia Asher Yesh Al Gavan Lashonis, there's a little tongue of some sort, Asher B'Shichasa, where you pull it off and you create a Pesach Noya, and people drink from the can, so this is a soda can. So there are those who forbid opening the soda can, for two reasons. What are the reasons why it's usher to open, or why it might be usher to open a soda can? What are the melachas that are to hand? Mechatech. Why mechatech? You have a mida, an exact measurement of an opening. And the second issue, Pesach no. You now have a very nice opening. So for those two reasons, mechatech and machi v'patish, some are forbid opening a soda can. But then he says, yesh yetir leposkan, and there are those who permit opening. So what are the issues here, further? So in the footnotes, he explains that Rav Shlomo Zalman says, as we said before, there's no problem of a siach Pesach here, because it's a disposable can, and when it comes to something disposable, there's no problem of a siach Pesach like we said earlier. Okay, and then he writes in Oz Yud here, he quotes from Rav Yashiv, who asked opening such cans because of Pesach, he didn't say that there's vadai in Isser of opening soda cans. People think it's mamish asr midiraisa. When Rav Yashiv asked opening soda cans, it wasn't because he was convinced that that hole is considered Pesach na. He wasn't sure. V'tar Safik, he said it. So it's not a vadai Isser, he said. And the reason, because it's a one-time use, it might be a reason to make a heter, allow for opening soda cans as a Pesach na. But he didn't say it's vadai Isser, but he did think mitzad mechatech, he thought mechatech was a problem of opening soda cans. He said, Amnam the Maisa, this is in the middle of Os Harayud, the Maisa Aser Zos Machmas Isser Mechatech. But then he says, Ve'ein Lomar, the Blav Hachin Chashash Isser, actually we can skip that part there. He doesn't quote Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that it might not be an Isser Mechatech. If you look in Os Harayud Aleph here, he says, there's no concern of a Sias Pesach because it's a disposable can. Also, he says there's no concern of Mechatech. He doesn't explain the Svar why not, but if you look in Shmir Shabbat, the Svar why it's not Mechatech. Mechatech is when you cut something out that you want in the measurement. You want to use what you're cutting out. In this case, you don't want what he called the tongue. You don't want the tongue that dips down when you open the soda can. You don't want that. It happens to be just to make it an easier way to open it up. They pre-cut it of some sort to make it an easy opening. But that's not the reason why you want. You don't want the mechatech to take that tongue. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah Zalman thinks there's no problem with mechatech. There's no problem of Pesach Na'ah, because it's a chad pami, as he calls it. It's a one-time use. It's disposable. And for those reasons, Rav Shlomo Zalman and many others are makil in terms of opening up soda cans. On the flip side, Rav Yashiv thought there's a problem. He thought it was mechatech, because it's the exact measurement. And he thought maybe there's a problem with Pesach No, but he wasn't so convinced about that. So that's the machlokes about opening up soda cans.
Would it matter if you drink from the can?
No, I don't think so. Some suggest you should pour it. The Shmir Shabbos talks about those different cases. Let's say some say you should open up the soda can, empty out right away, and therefore it's not being used at all as a container. Others say no, because it's still one use. If I'm drinking from it, it's one use. It's a long use. It takes maybe an hour throughout the meal before you finish a soda can, or even potato chip bags, which you might leave for a few days, you close it up. That's considered one long use according to some. While others say no, leaving it over for any amount of time is considered you created a container now. You have to therefore empty it out. So that's a machlokas poskim. I don't think that Orach HaShabbos addresses that point. But again, many poskim do say open it. And I think I think Rav Simcha Barim Kohn is machmir this way. When you open up a tuna fish can or something, open it up, or potato chips bags, empty everything out like you're suggesting, and then throw out the container.
The potato chips bag might be a different. It's not a din of a kli as opposed to a smell of container.
Exactly. So some say, it's a very good point. Some say that potato chip bag, the bag's not a material, that's not a kli. When it comes to tuna fish can, so that's more durable, that's a kli. So it makes more sense by the tuna fish can to throw out the tuna fish and then get rid of the can. There's such a distinction. Okay, let's move to Ozai now. Ozai, he describes, we mentioned this last week, opening up a carton of milk. So he talks about a situation, I skipped the milk bags, we don't have milk bags here in America, ruins in Eretz Yisrael, they have milk bags, I skipped that one. Anyone who's interested, you can look at Osvav. So I jumped to the milk cartons. So milk cartons, where the top is glued together in a certain way, and during the week we open up the milk cartons. They still have those milk cartons, I think. It's not all plastic, right? They have the old cardboard ones.
Well, they now have a circle on it.
Even the cartons have the circles also? I always get the smaller ones, I guess. Okay, even the cartons have the circle.
The one in school, it's not the one in school that you have to...
Yeah, they still have those? Okay, fine. Okay, the small little ones? Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. They're right. They're exactly. Those types. Right. They still exist. So so if you have the cartons, I'm not completely clueless. I just get the plastic one. That's what we buy. So they have the cartons where they glue on top. And during the week, everyone knows you open them up and you create a nice little spout and you pour it out of that spout. So he points out here that best that person should not open up where it's glued together on Shabbos. Rather, tear some of the carton itself to open it up to get to the milk. I know some people are thinking if the parents saw them do this, they think they're crazy. But that's what he advises to do. So why is that? So he says, look at the bottom for the svara. Os yudal ha'or yudalud. He says, the issue here of opening it by the top is not an issue of asiyas pesach. It's not creating a new opening, because that opening always existed. In the factory, that existed. They just sealed it temporarily. That does not undo the pesach that always existed. The box is like this, and they closed it. That box, the opening was always there. They never undid that opening. So what's the issue? The issue here, he explains in the footnote, is an issue of korea. When it comes to korea, the issue of tearing, there's a problem when it comes, according to some poskim, he quotes the Rambam here, and I think Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskins this way, that if you have two pieces of paper glued to each other, and then you tear them apart, that's korea. As opposed to one piece of paper, splitting one piece of paper in half, that's not korea. Korea is only when you've combined, glued together, two things, and then separate it. So therefore, when you have the top of the container where it's gluing two parts of the container together, that's mamish korea l'fi the Rambam. As opposed to cutting it in the carton itself, l'fi the Rambam, that's not a problem of korea. So for those reasons, it's advisable, he suggests, to cut it actually in the milk carton itself and not by the glue. Says maybe it's a problem of Sias Pesach, he thinks. Maybe they're making an opening on the side now. Now you've created a Sias Pesach, issue makipatish. And he says that's not a problem because since it's a one-time use, it throws out the possibility of Asiyas Pesach. Okay. Again, I know a lot of questions. None of this is so clear. There's machlokas each way, five melachas, mutter, aser. It's confusing. Now let's talk about Oschas. Oschas, he describes, well, I'm imagining one of those juice boxes, not juice boxes, or juice bags. They still have those where you put a little straw on the top, like the bag, not the boxes. I know the boxes they have. Growing up, they used to have them. They were like, this, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. What are they called?
Capri Sun.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So they have, so that type of bag, they still have them? You get those still?
Yeah.
So those have a little hole on top. And then you stick a straw on the top. Is that permitted? Is that a problem with Asiyas HaPesach? So Reuben writes that these types of bags, going on to the next page, he says it's mutter to make a hole to rip open the top of such bags, or to even stick a straw in that pre-opening that they covered in plastic. You could jam a straw in there, and that wouldn't be an issue.
Is it a plastic bag?
He says plastic bags, there's no issue of korea, it's a plastic bag.
Right.
Maybe it's a Asiyas Pesach. It's not Asiyas Pesach because the Pesach always existed. They just cover it with a little seal. That Pesach always existed. And even if you make a new Pesach, it's a chad pami, it's a disposable bag. So there's no issue of Asiyas Pesach here either. And so for those reasons, it's permitted to open such bags, and for that matter, even the juice boxes. Okay, now let's go to Ostes. Ostes, he talks about opening up a box of powdered coffee of some sort. Ground coffee. So this too, you know, sometimes those cans, we spoke about tin cans, has the little aluminum peel on top, you peel it off. So that, he says, is mutter to open that up on Shabbos as well. And the footnote explained, because this is something we mentioned last week in one of the sources, that Os in Ha'ar Yud Zayim, Kriyas Or Shal Pi Chavis, this was a Mefurish Tosefta, you're allowed to tear off the leather on top of a little chavis. So they used to have a chavis, some type of container. They sealed it with leather, and that, the Mefurish Tosefta said, you could rip off that leather covering. So this is the same exact model. You have a tin can with a little aluminum foil glued on top. Just ripping it off is the same exact model. And for those reasons, it's mutter. It's not a Asiyas Pesach, because the Pesach always existed there. It's not an issue of korea. And for all those reasons, it's permitted to open such tin cans. Os Yud, he talks about, I'm not sure, an example, maybe you guys know better than I do. In Os Yud, he's talking about opening some type of container where there's a piece of tape over it. over the carton, and he says like a box of cookies. So I'm not sure what tape he's referring to. Maybe it's different in Eretz Yisrael. So, yeah, the gum, maybe like the gum, that little like seal that goes around it. I'm not sure if that's, is that a glue? Is that a tape? I'm not sure. I thought that's a little tab just to help you pull it off. I'm not sure if it's taped on. But if you have tape of some sort.
I think it's, yeah? It's referring to the actual the cardboard box where they have a tape running over it, and then inside is the packages of cookies.
You're saying it's like a big package, right, and then the small cookies?
That's what it sounds like.
Like you're saying at the store, someone gets like the big package all in together, they undo the packages.
I think so.
Okay. So he says in Oz Yud, it's mutter to remove those that tape that's on top of these boxes, which contain perhaps cookies. But he's right, Aval kofeses karden asher chelki mechasa shel mudbokim zazeh, but a cereal box type of thing, where the top of the container, the top of the box is glued over each other. Ein lahafrid es hadbok of Shabbos. He says one cannot open a cereal box on Shabbos where it's glued together. And he explains this down below in Ha'or Yutes, Hatam Mishim Sha'adam Munayim Shechelke Mechaser Yeshua Shleimim Yuchal Hamshech Lishtamish Ben. So if kids open the box, it's probably okay, because kids just tear it wide open, and the parents always get upset. Why'd you rip in the box? You can't close it properly. So kids could probably open them. But parents, not you, but when parents open it up, they want it to be nice and open so they could seal it nicely back. So since they're careful how to open it up, when parents open the cereal boxes up, he thinks it's a problem to open up that way. Rak koreas achibor shalom zelazet, just tear it away from each other. Ubofen zeh ein liros es ha-kriya, kriyaso kenasas b'derech hashchasa ha-vedino kredim posech ariza sukra. Because if you do open it nicely, it's viewed not as korea, you're opening up, creating a new box. You have to open it in a way where you've destroyed the box, destroyed the reuse of such a cardboard box, such a cereal box. So when opening up cereal boxes, one has to be careful to either open it before Shabbos or to destroy it when opening it while avoiding cutting it any letters.
It wouldn't be Korea like the Shulchan Aruch Harav. It's the same material being glued together. Why would that be different than...
No, he says don't open it where the glue is. For that reason, you should open it on the box itself like in a way where it's destructive.
Like the milk carton.
What if you just open it on the milk carton where the glue is and throw it away? Just use a bag inside you, so you're not necessarily ripping it open, but it's a one-time use to take it.
Right, so for the one-time use, the Korea wasn't so helpful for the... I guess Korea was helpful for the one-time use.
So not the Korea, so I open it from the top, and then I just throw the box away. I usually
right.
Put a bag inside.
So he's being choshesh, and I think Rav Moshe was also choshesh, when it's mamish on the glue, yeah. That's Korea, according to... every Rishon says that's Korea. The other way is only according to some Rishonim. So better to be choshish for the other Rishonim who think it's completely mutter, like the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch Rav. I think that's how I understand it. Okay, now let's go to Os Yud Alef. Os Yud Alef, he talks about removing the aluminum foil on top of, or aluminum on top of, the yogurt, or perhaps a pudding, or a cheese, or a cream cheese. So he writes in Os Yud Alef, Habal lehasiyas anir halumanim, you're trying to remove the top of the yogurt, hamudbak agavi gviya lavan, gvina yesh lahafkin meza ben shnei afanim. The two types of scenarios of opening the top of a yogurt. If a person's not makbid, if it rips or not, he just takes it off. Sometimes it comes off very smoothly. Sometimes it rips. Some of it gets stuck onto it. That's not a problem of opening up at all. But if he cares about it being very nice, so he could close it afterwards, if he's not going to finish the yogurt or the cream cheese, then he thinks there's a problem. Again, this is Os Beis in here. Im makbid shanir lo ikareya, kidei sheyuchal l'shamish lo kimechaseh, ayin bahara im mutu l'hasya shanir. He says it's a machlokas, because now you've created, the seal was once a seal, but now you're creating it nicely, ripping it off, and now it's being used as a cover that could be taken off and on. That's a machlokas, whether you could tear it if you're very careful. So if one wants to open up a cream cheese or hummus or anything like that, you should tear it up in such a way without being careful about maintaining it. Now, if it gets maintained, that's okay. But if you're makbid on being very clean cut, then he thinks there's a problem here.
It might cause a little
bit of letters. Right, that's true. You have to be careful. Depending what's on the top of the cover, you have to be careful not to cut the letters as well. Okay, let's go now to Os Yud Beis. Os Yud Beis, oftentimes yogurts and puddings come stuck to each other, like six of them. Can you break them when they're initially connected to each other? So this would be an issue. He writes in Os Yud Beis, Gviei lovan hamushakin bezugos v'kodim ha'achila mafridin osam zem bezeh. First you snap them apart from each other. V'mokim ha'charitz, in that area where it's been already pre-cut. Hamur l'chach. Yesh she'osu ha'frad dezu. There are those who forbid this, mishim isser makbepatish and mishim isser mechatich. Two isserim here. One is the Isser Makbe Patish, because now the yogurt, I guess they're suggesting, is not usable. When they're together in a six, it's very hard, you could use them, but it's not so easily usable when they're all attached to each other. That's one problem. And problem two is, now there's mechatech, because there's a line. You wanted the exact midah. You wanted that yogurt to be separate in its exact measure. So now when you snapped it off of each other, you violated perhaps the isser of mechatech. But there are those who permit, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman comes to explain that this is not a problem. Why? So in Harachav Beis, he says, there's no concern in Makabe Patish here, because the Tzuras HaGvim Kvar Nigmar Beveis HaCharoshes, they're already in the factory, already complete. The box, the yogurt container was there. No, you didn't create a new container. So there's no problem with Makabe Patish. And he also writes, I'm not sure if it's in the footnote here, but I think for the same reason he thinks there's no issue with Mechatech either, because that was also pre-cut. They just didn't finish the process of cutting it the whole way through, exactly. But for those reasons, he thinks there's no problem of separating them. And the same would be true when it comes to someone asking me about the ice packs. Freeze pops. When you snap them apart from each other, I think based on this same svara, there wouldn't be an issue because it's not mechatech and it's not makabe patish. It just wasn't finished in the factory. They existed independently. They just stayed attached to each other to make it easy for packaging or perhaps easy for delivery.
But what if they have letters also?
Right. So if they're letters, one should really avoid cutting all the letters.
If they're attached to this,
right. So it's an issue. Again, unless Rav Neventhal, who we said before, which I don't know firsthand, Rav Neventhal, and there are poskim who permit cutting on the long letters, but I think Rav Poskim thinks one should avoid cutting on the letters.
Yeah, so if it's like has perforations, like it's better to cut on the kind of pre-cut what was on the factory as opposed to kind of.
Interesting. So that connects, I guess, to, say, toilet paper, for example. There's a big discussion there. For some reason, he doesn't mention here that I don't think it's possible by the yogurt. There's no way to cut it other than on perforations. If it's possible, let's say made by the freeze pops, maybe it's probably better to cut not on the perforations there. But by the yogurts and puddings, I don't think it's possible to cut it other than on that line, I think.
Take a blade and cut, you know.
Take a blade and cut, like, the inside of it and empty out the yogurt and put it into the bowl.
Take
a knife. But that's going to probably be on the lines anyways. There's no area that's extra usually. It's mamish touching each other until that. Okay, let's go to Os Yud Gimel. Yeah, no, there's no issue there. That's just an extension of your hand. If it's specialized utensil, then maybe it might be more of an issue, but using a knife or a spoon or a fork or a straw is no issue. Now, Os Yud Gimel, he talks about making a hole in the cover of yogurt. I know, like, what do they call them in Israel? The
leaven.
So the kids like to take the straw and they stick the straw in and drink it from that. So that's completely mutter. He says as well, there's no problem with a CS Pesach because it's a disposable type of disposable Pesach. Okay, what else is interesting here? Sorry?
Small portion juices.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. They're making the hole in it. The hole already existed before, and even though they sealed it off, sticking the straw in is not a new Pesach. And even if it was a new Pesach, since you drink it and throw it out right away, it's therefore considered disposable and not a problem with Pesach. Okay, let's discuss. Now let's jump to Os Tezayin. Os Tezayin talks about different types of bottle caps, which is, of course, very nogeya. So in Os Tezayin, he says a bottle cap that's Kimin Keser, which is a Mutal Poskim B'Shabbos, it has the little crown where it's sealed around the top of the bottle cap. He said that's mutter to open on Shabbos. It's like the beer. He said the example is of a beer bottle where you're not ripping anything off, but it looks like a crown where it's just sealed on top. You pop it right off. There's no problem because that kli existed, that cover existed before Shabbos. It existed afterwards. You didn't create anything new. You just availed the ability to use the beer, but you didn't create a new Pesach. You did not create a new kli. So that's permitted when it comes to a beer cap. When it comes to Os Yudzayin, what about a metal cap? In such a way, it describes when you take it off, you separate it from the ring that's below, which is very common in Eretz Yisrael, the grape juice bottles or the wine bottles, and sometimes even in America they have these metal caps still. So that, he says, is usur to open up because makabe patish. What happens is that when you twist off that metal cap, it was once before a cover, and now it's a new kli that's usable. So for those reasons, he says it's usable to cover and close. So since you created that new use, it's an iser of makabe patish. Because you've separated from the ring that's below.
Oh, so the issue is the ring.
The ring. Because now it's something, a new use. That was, you created something new. It's the function of as a kli was to seal the bottle. Now, when you snapped it off, you created something new. Now it's something that's usable back and forth.
So the issue is it used to be a cap with a ring, and now it's just a cap without a ring.
Right, I think so.
That's the only issue?
Noad is going to store. After how there's the book one shot, always there is something remaining in the body. So this kak noad mechatchila.
But before you removed the ring, you weren't able to do that. Before you twisted it off, mm-hmm. It was stuck on the bottom. Now you twisted it off, and now it's something that can be taken off and on. That's what I think.
So the issue is not that it becomes a little cup. The issue is that it's being used as a kli to cover.
Exactly. You asked this question last week. I think exactly. I think the issue is that it's. I think it's that it's
it
able to be
used as a cup.
You asked this question last week.
Clearly say that it's a palm one-time use. Because you wouldn't use it at all, and it. So it's the issue is that it's now a kli as used as a cover kli.
I think so.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
So make a hole on top and then do it.
Right. So that exactly. That's the heter. So, how do you get around this problem of opening up a metal cap? If you make a hole, take a knife and jam a hole or something strong that could go break through the cap, you've made a hole. So once you've taken it off, it doesn't serve as a cover anymore because if you flip over the soda bottle or the wine, it's going to fall out. So if that's the case, they make sure when you make that hole, it goes through the plastic layer also. There's metal and there's plastic usually in these caps. If you just make a hole in the metal but it doesn't pierce through the plastic, it's still going to serve as a cover even though it doesn't look so nice anymore. You have to make sure it goes through the whole way through.
You just pop it out.
Well, you could also pop it out if you know how to do these things. You're very handy. But you have to make sure either the plastic's out or in such a way where there's a hole that if it turned upside down, it wouldn't serve as a proper cover anymore. Right. So plastic cap, someone explained to me afterwards last week that the way it's made in the factory. So I think I wish I had it here. Does he explain how it works here? I think here, if you look at Oshid Ches here, Oshid Ches, he writes, Pakak plastic, also be open Shabashas psichaso nefredes mimena tabas, yeshe tir leposcho bashabas, yeshe also bazen. This is my focus when it comes to a plastic cover. So let's see what Lamed Aleph, what he explains here. So if you look in Lamed Aleph, the footnote of Lamed Aleph, he says, whole Pakak habibarga, twist off cap, nasa kulo lefne nisinasa albakbuk. It was entirely made before it was placed in the bottle. It's one unit before it's placed in the bottle. The gam achar nisinaso al bakbuk einanum omrim shebhiduko nisbat minoshem pakap. We don't say once you take it off, it loses this, once it was connected rather, it loses the shame of being a cover. Hove niker hatev shadabas muchubers bekata pakak einumuguf hapakak el hitosevas muchubers bo. Didn't you see the separation? There's a little space between. Everyone knows the top is different than the ring. As I guess, as opposed to the metal caps, it looks like it's one connected unit. Even though you look carefully, you can see little holes in it, but it looks like it is one connected cleat.
What kind of halachic difference is that?
No, the idea
because
is,
it's the way
did
it's
you
made.
Lose? It was certainly made. They have like bottling and cap companies that do this. Right. So when they make the cap, it's initially a cap, but once they shove it on top of the bottle, does it lose that shame of being a cap anymore? So it depends how it appears. If it appears like it's connected to the ring is stuck below now. Now, if it's stuck to that ring, it loses the shame of a bottle cap. And you crack it off, now you've created a new bottle cap. The plastic ones, when you put it on, it's still, you could see the difference between the ring and the cap. There's a clear difference. So even when it was connected on, it never undid the shame bottle cap. So when you take it off, it always had the bottle cap, never lost the bottle cap, and you haven't created anything new. That's the basic svara, I think, if I'm understanding this correctly.
Formed on top of it. There's a machine that squishes it on and forms that shape. So until you separate it, it never was. And then you just made that into a
See, even in the first place, it was never a cap in the first place.
Right.
No, but even I think that's the perforation on the metal one, it was always one.
Right, it was always one.
And the plastic one, it was mended, and then it was just
Are they separately? The ring
no,
and the bottle?
That's what he's saying here.
I thought he says you just see there's a difference.
The metal one was all one unit. They do perforation on the one unit. Mm-hmm. The plastic one is a different a different way of doing it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, alright. We didn't finish everything. The question is, should we continue this next week? Or,
Sounds like we should continue this for
2 minutes. 2 minutes. Finish it, yeah? Okay. Okay, what did we miss here? So we did plastic caps, we did metal caps. What did we do here? Let's go to Os Chaf Aleph now. Os Chaf Aleph. He says, Kisre plastic onir aluminum shall gave pakak shall bakbuk. Yain mutter lakora bishabis bavad shizar shall lakora osios otsirum. Let's say, oftentimes in the wine bottle, there'll be that plastic or really aluminum cover, you could tear that off. I always wondered about, they come with those little circle things you put on top to cut the top of it off. Well, that's a
the
little blade. You put on top the blade to remove the aluminum, and then you put the corkscrew in. So I always wonder if that's an issue of mechatech, that it's an even cut. I don't think so, because you don't really want that measure. You don't care about the meat. It happens to be. It's like just like a straight knife. You're cutting something straight. It doesn't mean just because it's straight, it's going to be an isser mechatech. It happens to be a straight blade. I don't think it's a mechatech problem, but I did wonder that. What?
You don't want the piece.
You don't want the piece. Yeah, you don't want the piece. You just want to get to below the piece. So I don't think it's a problem.
The cork.
You don't want the cork.
You want to go through the resealer again. Unless you also...
You're cutting itself is not... You don't want the cut itself, though.
Also, unless you really know what you're doing, it ends up ripping it more than cutting it. It doesn't make a perfect cut unless you really, like, you see most of them, they don't do that.
Okay, now opening, then Oscha Beza talks about I think it's a cork. By using a cork, removing a cork is not a problem at all from a wine bottle.
Yeah.
And then, and the last thing, Oscha, let's turn up to Oscha Hey, opening up medicine and stuff. Chuvos ha-nesunos barizas nylon mutal acroes ha-nylon ha-shakuf al-manas lo-tion. You could open up any aluminum packaging that might be necessary to get to the medicine. Okay, so we'll stop there. I think we did enough. And again, there's a lot of questions, a lot to be asked, but at least to become sensitive to the questions and mlachas at hand to know what and how to ask these shaylos.
Okay.
You're right about it. Reb Chanan Bekashi did say that. He did. That's right. That's true. He said that. He's going to say it again in a few minutes. I don't know if you saved the page from last week, so I made it. Chazaka people don't. So whoever. So I made another. Just very, very briefly. Rabbi Levin is literally speaking about the letter of the law. The letters of the law, making one opening, making a second opening, Pesach Sheni. And the inyan that we're talking about, that we began to talk about last week, which is a huge topic in halacha, and particularly complicated also for different reasons. Here, when we're talking about opening containers, all of the discussions are about lamates malachas. We're in the parish of lamates malachas. The topic that we began to discuss last week is known in halacha as uvdin dechol, and this particular aspect of Uvdin Dechol is Zilusa de Shabbos. Zilusa de Shabbos. It comes up very often in Masech de Shabbos, Masech de Beya, not so much in the Gemara itself, but in the Poskim, to be Mezalzel in the Kedusha of Shabbos. And the reason that we began to talk about it is because there are certain devices that are being developed, most recently so-called Shabbos switch. There are devices that are being developed, and without going to the whole issue of groma and psikresha, there are complications, as I mentioned last week, from the poskim who are very unhappy even with those issues, as far as whether or not there to be legitimately enough of a groma or the issue of psikresha is overcome by the way that the device has been designed. But besides that, there's a problem. In my opinion, there's a serious problem regarding the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. And we learned last week that there's a tshuva from the Hisoyrus tshuva, from the Chassam Sofer's grandson, where we find that the mitzvah of the Kibadato, the mitzvah of L'chdoish Hashem Mechubad, which is a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah from the Nevi'im, he learns that there's a deraisa that when we're talking about certain activities that are weekday activities, even if we're in a situation where there's chlal no chash of any malacha that's going to take place. We're not talking about any malacha that's going to take place. We're not worried about a malacha. Even if it's not also a tircha yaseira, we learn that there's a problem of uvdin dechol. Schlepping very heavy things on Shabbos, schlepping things around, there's a problem with Uvdin Dechol. The Hisoyrus Tshuva, and we saw also from the Ketzos HaShulchan, many posts can talk about a different category of Uvdin Dechol, where there's no Chashash Malacha, I'm not worried about any malacha taking place. It's not something which is a tirchi yaseir. It's not hard to do. If a kid playing baseball in the park on Shabbos, it's the pleasure. That's the greatest pleasure that people have, is playing ball. But still, one could be in violation of the issue of Uvn Dechol if there's a zilusa, the Shabbos is taking place. If somehow the Shabbos is cheapened, zilusa the Shabbos, if the Shabbos, if covered Shabbos is cheapened by this act, which is something that would be in violation of the mitzvah of the Nevi'im of Kibbutz Tov. Since we learn from there, the Gemara Shabbos learns from there, that Shloi he diburcha b'Shabbos, diburcha b'chol, that you speak differently on Shabbos. And hiluchach b'Shabbos, the way you walk on Shabbos, there's a way to walk on Shabbos, not with a psiyagasa. The way that you walk on Shabbos should not be kihiluchach b'chol. So as the Mishnah Halachas points out, Menashe Kohen points out, certainly Halachas Kama V'Kama, that Shali Yumasech Shal Shabbos K'masech B'chol, that one, the way that one acts, what you do on Shabbos, not Lamatas Malachas, but the way that you act on Shabbos can't be the same way that you act on Chol. But what does that mean exactly? The way you act on Shabbos, it's very hard to define. So on the page that you have in front of you in Os Hey, he quotes a famous shuva from Rav Moshe. Let's just read this. V'chein kosa b'tshuva sigvas Moshe, in the fourth chelik of Arachayim, b'yesa se'es or b'yesa oiz. Those of you who are familiar with the Moshe's psakim know that particularly in Hilchas Shabbos, Rav Moshe was a very, very big kanoi when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos. Very big kanoi. She'nishal al tevar melocha, hanas es b'shabbos aydei sh'on Shabbos. The Moshe was asked about Shabbos clocks. And this tshuva goes back a while. But that was becoming something that was very popular. They weren't as complicated as they are now, and they worked a lot better back then. But that was when this industry of Shabbos clocks was starting. And although my father told me that in Europe they also had Shabbos clocks in Europe, but the way they did it, my father told me it was one of his jobs in the house. The way Shabbos clock worked in Europe is it was only for they would have an alarm clock, and he would tie a string to the alarm clock. That's what they do. They would tie a string to the alarm clock, so when the little thing would turn, it would pull down. The string would pull down. Can you imagine having that? The string would pull down the switch, something like that. A lot of alarm clocks they used to have. It would start to turn, and then they would pull down the string. That's how that was the Shabbos clock before in those days. But we have now Shabbos clocks. But Rav Moshe writes, Al Dvar Meloch Anasa B'Shabbos Hayder Shon Shabbos Shehemido V'Kivnu Me'erev Shabbos. Now, theoretically, Shabbos clocks could be used not just for lights and not just for air conditioners. Rav Moshe was not in favor of Shabbos clocks for air conditioners, only in certain situations where there was really a serious issue of health. But Rav Moshe says that in general, he says Kegon Levashul Al Yodav Chayotzitzeh. A person could use a Shabbos clock to attach to a crock pot or to any other electric device, and the Shabbos clock could cook and stop cooking and cook and stop cooking. You know, there's no issue of shihiyah and chazar. All the other issues of bishul are taken care of, but to use an electric device, as far as cooking, vehela, he says, kigoyin levashal yodav v'chayetzav is vehela l'izr. V'atzatir chilek milashayin, he brings some of the lashon of Ramesha. Hine laniyaz daiti poshet she'osu lahatizr. Ramesha is asked, what about setting up cooking devices and so on, Shabbos clocks, and he says it's poshet to him, it's clear to him, that it's also lahatizah. He made a distinction later on a bit between light and all the other appliances. It's poshut that it's also. The ayidei mora shows kazeh that by using such a clock, yicholim lasas kol hamlochas b'Shabbos. Theoretically, one could do any meloch on Shabbos with clocks. Well, b'chol batei haroshes and factories could be running on Shabbos. You could run a factory on Shabbos with clocks. And look what he says. Rav Moshe writes, "Ve'ein lecha zilzul gadol l'Shabbos mizeh." There is no greater zilzul, a disgrace, to be mezalzul on Shabbos. There's no greater zilzul than this. Ubar, and it's clear. Rav Moshe says, "Shem hayeze bezman hatanoim ha'amaroim," that if there would have been such a device as a Shabbos clock in the days of the Tanoim and Amaroim, based upon how we see that Chazal was so careful to not only to prevent lamatas melachas, but to maintain the kedusha Shabbos, an avira of Shabbos. How careful they were! Hayu osrunza, kamosha osra mirlaakum, thank mitamza. We see that Chazal asked Amir Lakum, a person can make his Shabbos, God forbid, in the chol. If you have a Shabbos going, there are people that live that way, that the guy does this and the guy does that. And Amir Lakum is a serious issue. Also requires a tremendous limud. It's a very complicated area in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yantiv. Then of Amir Lakum, Yitzhak, we'll talk about it a different time, the halachas of Amir Lakum. But the underlying yisod of Amir Lakum, even they have the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch, there are different shittas how to explain, three or four basic shittas how to explain Amir Lakum. But the underlying yisod of Amir Lakum is, of course, to see to it that Shabbos will remain Shabbos. Because otherwise, if you replace the machine with a non-Jew, so again, it says it's also the Shabbos. Where's Shabbos? A melacha could take place. Any melacha could take place in the world. So now he says you could use a machine to do any melacha. So since we see, he says that at the time of the Tanaim and Amorim, that they instituted the Issa of Amir Lakum, of having a guy do melacha for you, so Rabbi says it's clear to him. If they would have had Shabbos clocks in those days, hayu osrun zeh, kamosha osru Amir Lakum itam zeh. It could be not only that, it could be that this is part of the din. It was zilus of the Shabbos, and the whole Indian of using Shabbos clocks for all the appliances. Like what the Gedarim are, we'll talk about a different time. But this whole concept, he says, it could be that's included in the din of Amir Lakum. It's not just the Chazal didn't only mean, it's Lav Dafka telling a guy to do something. Could be if the post can talk about Chacham Tzvi, another tshuva talk about if you train an animal to do something. So a person would be able to, you like this one, Shlom. Imagine you could train a dog to go around on Shabbos and do all kinds of malachas on Shabbos. You could train a dog to turn on lights, right? You train a dog to turn on lights on Shabbos. You train an animal to do all kinds of, they could train out to do all kinds of tricks, so they could train an animal to do different malachas on Shabbos. So, it could be Amir Lakum doesn't only mean that you tell a non-Jew, that you tell a goy. It could be that you're mezalzel in Kedusha Shabbos by means of taking somebody else or some other koach, or something else or someone else, to make Shabbos a dechol for you. The osru kol melach hanasas b'shvil Yisrael mitzad amiras hayisrael. So if the Jew tells the dog to go do this, and he understands such a thing, he's trained. Or if you tell your Shabbos clock, you stand there and you tell the Shabbos clock, I want you to turn on the light, to turn on the appliance to cook something at 6 o'clock. Could be. It's mitzad amira. It's mitzad amira sayisol. In other words, it's mitzad amira sayisol. Doesn't literally mean to speak to, but it means to program. You program the animal. You program the clock. The kosher came mitzad mai sayisol. If that's true, as far as amira is concerned, telling the guy to do something. So then, certainly, it's true as far as a Maisi Yisrael is concerned, as far as a physical act on the part of a Jew. He says, even if we take a little bit, we go away a little bit from the whole world of Amir Lakum. The Zilus of the Shabbos, Fa'av Zilus of the Yontiv, Ha'osu Bekam Advar. Ramesh says that even if we go away from Amir Lakum, which the truth is that the Yisod of Amir Lakum is also to protect Kavod Shabbos. But Ramesh says we find the concept of Zilus of the Shabbos and Zilus of the Yantiv, that there's also a number of, there are also Kamad Dvarim that are forbidden in Shas as a result of this. The Kevish of Boru She'ika Zilus of the Shabbos. It's clear that turning on or turning appliances on and off with a Shabbos clock is a Zilus of the Shabbos. Zilusa, wherever there's Zilusa, that's the Issa. Vegam Poshel in Yizdaiti, the Osa Davashu Zilusa L'Shabbos, who over be Yadayim al Chiyuv HaKovid, that if a person is doing something which is a Zilusa L'Shabbos, he's over be Yadayim, physically, al Chiyuv HaKovid, on the Chiyuv of Kovid Shabbos, there's a very, very big machlokus Rishonim regarding how do you define Kavod Shabbos. Is it a deraisa that was nisparish ayidei nevi'im? Is it a midivei kabbalah? We're not going to that right now. But there's a mitzvah of honoring Shabbos. Shekosavram Reish Perik Shloishim Hilchos Shabbos Arba Dvarim Nermu B'Shabbos Shnayim Atayr V'Shnayim B'Tevei Soifim V'Hem B'Farosh No Dehen Leviim V'Cheinu Chiyuv HaKovel L'Shabbos Shum Halacha V'Nispar Shua Yidehen Leviim B'Kro V'Rambam Sham Halacha Beis Pireish Hamaisim HaMuchiyov M'Lasus L'Kvoid Shabbos. So there are certain positive things that we do in order to be Mechabed Shabbos. We take care of the people that we wear, that the clothing be prepared, that we have a Ksus Nekia and so on. I think the next thing that I want to talk a little bit more about this in Yom Kippur, the Shabbos, I think, and I mentioned last week, maybe we'll talk about what's going on with clothing and how a person should dress on Shabbos. And there are positive acts that are required because of the din of Kavod Shabbos. Umemela Muvan, Ramosha writes, the Hadvarim Sha'asiyosan, who's the Zilusa the Shabbos, who Gamkin Oival Mitzvazu, the Kavod Shabbos. That where there's a Zilusa the Shabbos, a cheapening of Shabbos, so a person is over in the midst of Kavod Shabbos. Vod garua. And not only that, it's not only that you fail to wear Shabbos like a clothing, which is that, in other words, that you b'shev al tasa, I did not put on a special Shabbos garment. I wasn't mechaved the Shabbos in the right way. But here, Rav Moshe says, when it comes to zilus of the Shabbos, you're doing something where you're proactively doing something to show that Shabbos is not mechubad in your eyes. Even though the Indian of Zilus of the Shabbos is not part of that whole tchum in halacha of gzeiros of chachamim, aval gam below tzorach who over b'maise al chiyuv kovet haShabbos, but a person is physically being over on the chiyuv of kovet Shabbos, which is not only something you might think that, well, that's only if I do it on Shabbos, I'm setting the Shabbos switch, I'm setting all of that before Shabbos, but you know that the Briskerov and many others explain that the main chiluk between, when you look at the dinim of Kavod Shabbos and Oinig Shabbos by definition are things that we do on Shabbos, such as eating and so on, special foods. That's how Ma'anik is a Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is a halacha that begins earlier in the week, how you mechabed Shabbos and the preparations that one makes for Shabbos and how one sets Shabbos up beforehand. So the fact that this is something that takes place before Shabbos, because you set the clock before, you set the Shabbos switch before, the mitzias is that you are transforming Shabbos into chol by creating such a way of turning lights on and off on Shabbos. Avol gam belotzar who over b'maisel chiyuv kavod Shabbos v'zeshu zilusa who dover shemuv on lakol. The Moshe says that a person would arrange for cooking and other appliances to going on and off on Shabbos with a Shabbos clock. He says it's muvan lakol. It's understood to everybody that's the zilus of the Shabbos. Shalachin mistabelin is the idea. Also lahamid be'erev Shabbos aydei morosho shiasa helektri lamar chamalachim. But one cannot set up appliances in the house. Again, I'm not going to go into the chiluk he makes between lights. But one cannot set up in the house appliances on Shabbos clock. Ad kan l'shon. That's Rav Moshe. See, just finish. He explains over here that oid yesh lahadgish needs to be emphasized. Sheofin zeh ha'osam mishum zilus of the Shabbos sheniris ke'echad mimei ha'chol v'hamais. The zilus of Shabbos is when there are certain activities that are vachedik by definition, they're weekday activities, and that by engaging these activities in Shabbos, we are creating a situation where Shabbos appears to be kimei achol. It looks like a regular weekday. I don't think that there could be any clearer example of that than if a person walks into a room, and he turns, every time he walks into the room, he presses a switch, and he puts lights on and off, on and off. Could there be any other greater way of making it feel like chol? One of the last inconveniences we have, as far as Shabbos is concerned, is with the light, to make sure that the lights are arranged before, and not to go around turning lights on and off. So he says, Nechlag l'kama v'kama chalokim shini kulam echatu. Klaimer. So what does this mean, that you're making Shabbos into a weekday? Klaimer, yesh shahadimyin l'chol notzim yitzat etzam ha'pula shehi pula anasis b'chol. Sometimes this inyan of uvdin d'chol, and zilus of the Shabbos is because you're doing something, a pula, that type of a pula is nasis b'chol. My wife, I didn't discuss this with my wife at all. She mentioned, and that's why we decided maybe we would talk to the women, we're going to get together in a week or two to discuss this, that my wife mentioned to me that when she went out to the grandchildren, and she passed by, I mentioned this to you last week as well, that she said that in the park of the academy, She said that she never saw such a thing in her life. I didn't want to say to her that she should have taken more walks last year or the year before. But she never saw in her life. She said there were kids that were playing ball, throwing around the ball. But she said she went by the Woodmere Academy, and there were adults and children with shorts, sneakers, gloves, bats, the works. Like a regular teams that were playing ball on Shabbos. Is there any chashash malacha? Probably not. I mean, there could theoretically be some, but unlikely. Would anybody say this is not the greatest zilus of Shabbos, a zilzel of Shabbos, the mazalzel of Shabbos? That type of an organized game with equipment, it's obviously a vochedek, that's a weekday activity by definition of what one engages in during the week. Etzem ha-pula shi pula ha-nasas b'chol. So v'yesha ha-dimi noitzi mitzad ha-kli sh'mishtamish bo, shu kli sh'ha-derech l'shtamish bo b'chol. The post can talk about, then you have a kli. So let's say the activity itself might not be only a weekday activity, but there's a kli, a light switch. A light switch is something which is used for chol. Switches. We don't touch switches on Shabbos. We don't switch things on and off on Shabbos. This is a new kind. It's a fancy one. It's got all kinds of psikreishes and grummas and grummas of grummas of grummas. And inside it has a pulse on it. And it has all kinds of fancy things. The metzius is it's a switch. It's a switch that. Maybe you could say that in halacha you're not in violation of one of the lamatas malachas, but pressing switches, but switches on and off, switches on and off, that mitzad the kli, it's shemishtamish b'shehu kli shahad derech l'shtamish b'bechol. For instance, when something makes a loud noise, the pesukim talk about having the washing machine. Having a washing machine or the dish or the dishwasher, having a go. Let's say you turn it on before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, no problem. You turn on the dish. Even though there's no problem as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, Lamed Tes Melach is that this was all done before Shabbos, but there is a problem of Zilus of the Shabbos with Av Shemilsa when there's something that's making noise, when there's a machine that's making noise. And people are sitting there by the Shabbos Suda, and the dishwasher is going. It's Av Shemilsa. It's a problem of publicly not doing a malacha. You didn't do a malacha. You turned on the dishwasher before Shabbos. Nobody's doing any malacha, but it's a zilus of the Shabbos that there's a machine that's dragging around over there on Shabbos that you turned on before Shabbos. Hayne machmes pirsum hadavar. There's a pirsum hadavar. Again, not that anybody was in violation of a malacha, but there's a pirsum hadavar, shepirsum hudavar hamaafyein es yimei chol. Again, loud noises, machines running, these are things that are maafyein es achol, that are typical of weekday life. Not what Hashem or the Chachamim meant that Shabbos should be like. U'bizadoyim l'chol. Lo mitzad etzem ha-pula, because in case, as far as the pool is concerned, there's no issue that's necessarily taking place. A person has a water mill going, which the Gemara talks about, and it's very, very noisy. Could be the bechlas no malacha, and the water mill, everything was set up, everything was set up before Shabbos, but it makes a tumult, it makes a rash, and it's av shemilsa, and it's not something which was meant to be a part of the consciousness of a Jewish family on Shabbos. V'yesha adimina v'emach mesatircha. Sometimes the problem with zilus of the Shabbos or uvdon the chol is that that the dimin is nevei machmes atircha because of the schlepping. Shetircha zedover hanohug v'harogel b'me'achol. This type of a tircha, obviously, to move a chair from one place to the other is not something which is an unusual tircha that typifies the kind of work day that a person has during the sheisim emaisa. Nor would it necessarily be that if there's a collapsible table. And you have to move it because somebody came and you moved the table over. That wouldn't necessarily be new to the chol. But to start to rearrange furniture in the house to see how things look and to move furniture around, heavy furniture and so on, that's typically an activity the person does during the week. Ukshahatorach nires hashabbos kichol kafiyas karnel. But through that type of a torach, again, it's not clear. It's not a science. But And it takes a certain type of a sensitivity. There are many areas in halacha like that. Actually, in the yeshiva, Shabbos Rav Shachter was talking about. He gave a shiur and he was talking a little bit about this. He was talking about certain klali hara in terms of pasuking halacha. And he mentioned that there are many stories like this. He mentioned that on a number of occasions that the Chazanish had a certain psak. And somebody would come over the Chazanish and would ask, where is that? Rabbi, where did you get that makor? What's the makor of that? And the Chazanish would say, it's here. That's the makor. What does that mean? The Chazanish pointed to his heart and says the makor. He didn't point to his head. He pointed to his heart. So Rav Shachter was explaining it, and I've spoken about this in the past. He was explaining how you have a human being like the Chazanish. The whole Torah Shabbat was wrapped up in that little frail tzaddik in Bnei Brak. Call it Torah Kula. So it could be that sometimes on a particular shayla, especially with some of these things that come up, it could be that at the moment it hasn't yet become clear that the source of this is Aran in Psachim, or the source of this is Arashba in Ksubas. Could be, and maybe over time it will be. But when there's a person of that stature who has the entirety of Torah and has all of that, and that's his consciousness, when he says there's such a thing as of Nisa Deliba, that the heart knows that such a thing cannot possibly be accepted. The heart knows that. And he said the nights, and I told Rav Shachter, he was laughing, because I told him that I remember when I was in the Rav Shir, which is a couple of years after he was in the Rav Shir, I mentioned this once in Shul. So there was a Rosh Yeshiva, there was a Rosh Yeshiva that visited from Eretz Yisrael, that was visiting the Yeshiva. He came from Eretz Yisrael. And we were learning Be'i at that time with the Rav. And he said, the Rav said a tremendous Hezbrin, Muktzeh, Rav Shimon. It's a whole unbelievable Shia that he gave. And this Rosh Yeshiva was mamash going out of his kelim. He was like so excited about this Shia. He was going out of his kelim. And he was saying the whole time, he was looking at everybody, and it was an older person. He understood the English, and when the shiur was over, so people would always run over to the Rav, right? and this Rosh Shiva ran over and he asked the Rav in Yiddish. So he asked the Rav, he said, "It's a Meridik shiur. Although, what is the makar from that? What's the makar?" He asked, and all the guys were standing around because this was a bigger shiva in there, and he was tumbling, and that was exciting. And he asked, "But what's the makar?" So the Rav looked at him, and he said in English, not in Yiddish. He said, "A clear, logical mind." That's what the Rav said. I was there. He said, "A clear, logical mind." And the guy goes, "What's up there?" And then the Rav said in Yiddish, "A clear, logical mind." It's a certain hergish that a person has, an understanding that, and you don't have the next page, but just answer this. "Kulam echadu shayde maisev nirus hashabbos ke'echad miyachal." When it comes to Uvda Dechal, what they all share in common is that there are things that when a person does, you can't always say, how do you define why this and why not that, and why maybe somebody said to me, maybe 10 years from now the Shabbos, which will be okay. We'll see. And if it will be, it's because there are Gedolei HaTorah, like the Chazanish in his time, and in our time we have Gedolei HaTorah, who have that sensitivity. What is Shabbos? What is Shabbos? But in the meantime, I don't know what happened over this past week, if there's been any more, I don't know what's going on with it. But in the meantime, I think that any one of us that has a hergish of what it means, Kavod HaShabbos, feels intuitively that this would certainly fit into the category of Zilus of the Shabbos, where there's something that's typically a weekday activity, that if we would be allowed to press switches on and off, that Shabbos would no longer be Shabbos, Shabbos would be Chol. So Hashem's book should help that whatever money this person has spent, he shouldn't lose money, and not anybody should say bad things, God forbid, about him. But that I think that it was a big mistake, and that Mr. Hashem, we should be zeicher to be shomer Shabbos kol chasa, to be zeicher to gula shabbat mitzvah meri amen amen. Ve'vachan ma'kashim tzvorach l'zak sol efir ha'ir on tamid shneva ane chavetz ma'tzir gad tov yad.